Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the world.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida here in Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida on Wednesday. A special extra show for the week, a bonus show, because as sometimes our comics from Wednesday night's Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's, the headliners get into town and say, you know what, let's get into the studio and meet this person. So sitting to my left, funny man, comedian, John McClellan.
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks, and regular listeners, and thank you for having me on the show.
Right.
On the Wake Up Late.
Wake Up Late.
Yeah, okay. Just for some reason, I just blanked, man. I was out of the ozone.
Yeah.
So the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Right. You know, we used to be on a network, and he used to come on at 10 in the morning. It was a morning show.
Okay.
So, you know, 10.
But 10 is kind of officially the Wake Up
right.
Late.
You know, for those of us like comics, me, I don't know if you're an early riser.
I need to be an earlier riser,
right.
But mate, come on. Nobody wants you to get up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
I love it when people tell you how early they get up in the morning. Like, oh, I got up at 4:30 this morning. If I'm getting up at 4:30, somebody's husband came home early.
I'm running out of the premise.
I'm gone. You'll see the corner of my shoe, man.
The only reason I get up at 4:30 in the morning now, I think would be basically two purposes. One, I got to catch an airplane, or B, the house is on fire.
Right.
Those would be the top two reasons.
Or A and B together.
Right. Just happens to be the same moment. You know, got to get out.
Well, it's funny. I was on a reality show. I was on Millionaire Matchmaker. And those of you, by the way, who have never seen the show Millionaire Matchmaker, it's a dating show for wealthy people. It's basically a show that
that brunette chick that sets up people in California.
Yeah, Patty Stanger. And it's a show of people that said, I wouldn't have sex with you if you had $1 million, and went out and got the money.
So you got $1 million?
No, I don't have $1 million.
Oh, okay. But you're on the show.
I was on a show. I dated a millionaire. All right. We were talking about Howard Snow. I was dated Judith Regan, who did Private Parts. She did that book.
Mm.
She was the head publisher for Simon Schuster. But the whole point of the story is there was a point where I was asking her out for a second date on the show.
Yeah.
All right. And that's part of what they do. So I needed to come up with something, you know, kind of.
Like a hook?
Yeah. A little something cool. Right. So I'm like, you know, I want to see you again, but I want to meet you in Central Park at daybreak because it's a beautiful time. It has been corrupted by the vendors and the horses. And
the police officers changing shifts.
The architecture and the trees and everything meets together. It's beautiful. I want to see you. I want to meet you at daybreak at Central Park. Right. And and people are like, oh, that's so romantic. Yeah. But when the show aired, my phone was blowing up. They're like, bullshit. You're not going to the park at 6 in the morning. The only reason you're going to the park at 6 in the morning because you're either robbing somebody or you're walking home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not an early guy.
I'm not. I'm fortunate because what's up, Bruce Smirnoff, very funny comedian watching us on Facebook Live. I wake up early. But even when I was a professional and I wore the suit and tie, you know, they say sales cover a multiple of sins. So I always wanted to be a top producer, so I didn't have to be there at 7:38 in the morning.
Right.
Basically what I did, they wanted me to be there before all the other employees got there so that, you know, you look like that guy. You know what I mean? Like, look at this guy, you know. And then I said, look, I won't be there before everybody, but I'll definitely hang out after. Like, when everybody's leaving, I'll still be there doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't want to be the first guy at the office because everyone's like, did you sleep here last night?
Yeah.
Dude, were you Are you having trouble in the home?
Especially at a bank. Like, I used to work in a bank a long
time. Right,
yeah.
I was a financial
guy in a bank. You show up early. You know, there's things you got to do, by the way. And I don't want to give away any... I'm like Trump giving away our fucking national secrets. But, you know, when you go to a bank, the first people at a bank, there's procedures. Like, you know what I mean? To make sure that somebody wasn't there held hostage the night before.
Okay, that makes a lot of
sense. You know, like you may put a trash can somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or leave a window shade a certain way. You know what I mean? It's like a sign like danger. You know what I mean?
Right. You got to go, you know,
something's
you got to case the joint.
Right. Something's wrong. You know, don't just come in and go, hey, where is everybody? So,
peekaboo.
You know, yeah. There's procedures. I'm telling you. Like,
you don't want to do that.
Finder is calling me at my office right now. He's giving away the secrets. By the way, all banks use dye packs. just in case you want to rob a bank. You know, I always thought it was amazing. Most of the time when people were, I've been involved in few bank robberies. Not like...
Well, from what side?
Yeah.
I was, because I don't want to give myself away here. But,
No, I wouldn't want to incriminate you, you know. But I worked at banks where there were...
Oh, so you had the weapon pointed at you.
No. Most of the time, they're just quiet. They go up to the teller line with a note, you know, and they say, I got a gun, don't just give me
What's
all the money.
What's that like? Just real quick. What I mean, okay, we're going through a robbery.
Right.
Is it a little shaky? You feel a little weird? You're like...
Well, I remember the first time it happened, I didn't even know it had happened. Like, in other words, the guy...
That's a good robbery.
Yeah.
That's like the sneakiest robbery of all time.
It's a friggin' ninja robbery.
Right.
But, you know, somebody comes in, you know, the hat and glasses. They go to the teller and they give me all your money in your drawer.
Okay.
And don't make any scene. You know, don't trip anything. I'll shoot you if I hear an alarm or I see anybody do anything. I'm going to shoot you. I got a gun. And, you know, for the most part, the staff is trained. Don't play. Don't call their bluff. You don't have a fucking gun. You know, and you're dead. So they'd basically get the money and they would walk out and then they would... By the time they're walking out, they would press the alarm and people would start rigging out. The person would walk out and then you would shut the door. Like you're instructed, the bank would shut the door. Anybody that was there while it happened, if you saw the person
walk
out.
No, you have to lock just, you
everybody,
know,
man,
for
man,
safety.
We were just robbed. Everybody, please take it, you know, ready right now. We got to, because the FBI has got to come in and check, you know, talk to everybody and, you know, what the person looked like.
You don't know who's in on it.
Right.
You don't.
There's somebody sitting there sweating. So, you know, that happened a couple times. And there was one time I've told you here on the radio. There was one time that I was coming back into the office, and I was the person who brought the bank had that look on their face with the glasses and the hat, and I saw the and then as I looked towards the teller window, I had seen the girl that one of the tellers like all panicky and stuff, and I put one and one together, and I saw, and then the person started kind of like walking fast and running through the parking lot into the condominium parking lot across the street, like they had parked somewhere else so somebody wouldn't see their car.
Right, right.
And, you know, I said, shit, I got it. I went after. I didn't go in yet. And they started shutting the door. So I ran and got my car and then, you know, went chased out and followed the car when it left the parking lot. And I had...
Oh, you're like a superhero.
Fuck
now.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, you get the Batman thing on there, right?
No, I can't stop. You know, I don't know what the hell this is, but Target, which I should say I'm a stockholder in now. On the recent dip. Get advice, by the way, before you buy any stocks or investments, get advice from a financial advisor or do prospectus and follow out. And this is in no way is it. This is no way is me.
Anybody listening to this show that knows me is like, what? Financial advisor?
All right.
You mean Jimmy from down at the corner? Yeah, that's the guy.
But Target, they have, you know, I can... They got I don't know, like you're good, you're in good shape, you know, you're not but you're bigger, so sometimes t-shirts, shirts don't wear right. Like I wear double XL dress shirts, you know, but I'm not the tallest guy in the world, so I got to get ones with certain sleeves, and I want
right because sometimes you're like you feel like you're wearing, you know, your big brother's clothes, like
you can't even cuff up. You got like three cuffs before the cuff,
yeah,
right. So that's important, and then of course they got, you know, these new slim fits. You know, they have these new slim.
Who is this for?
I know.
First of all, you're shopping at Target. There's no slim at the Target. All right? Who's buying it? Those are the only ones left when there's a sale.
Well,
plenty of slim fits.
Yeah, trust me. The Target rack is like I go to a Ross or I go to Marshall's, and then you try.
Yeah.
You go to the double
slim
XL
fit.
Rack. And every time I go to the double XL rack at a Ross or Target, there's always like bright orange and green dress shirts. And, you know, it's very rare you find a nice black dress shirt. You know, oh my God, it fits. You know?
Yeah, they're out there, but they're, you know, 15 neck and you know, 27 sleeve. Like,
exactly.
What am I getting, a communion? What am I doing here?
So it's just a pain in the ass. So I had just gotten it. You know, I thought I like to wear, like, when I travel now, I have my shirts, which, by the way, for the first time in a long time, I used my garment bag. when I went on the road for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Now, I wear a dress shirt, collared shirt, long on stage.
Right.
And so, you know, I had to figure out, there's 7 shows, 8 shows, so I got to bring at least 7 shirts. You know, that's the way I think. You know, because if I get sweaty on stage, I'm not going to wear that shirt again. You know, and I don't think I'm going to have 7 sweaty shows, but I figure it's just easy to get 7.
You know, I mean, you can only hope, you know?
Yeah. So I get the set, and I always used to roll them iron them when I got to town.
Okay.
But I tried the garment bag, and I didn't have to do any ironing.
Garment bag's not bad. The problem is they get beat up pretty easy.
Well, I don't check it. I carry it, right?
Right, but still, it's just the zippers, because I've gone through 3 or 4 garment bags already.
So I went with that, and then, but, you know, you're out of town for 2 or 3 weeks. It's hard. You got to bring merch. You got to bring your clothes, obviously. You know, you want to appear naked. I don't know. I forgot what the hell I was talking about.
You know, that's a different show.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, there's value in that. I'm not sure it's my wheelhouse, but, you know, there's cats out there that could pull that off.
Yeah, yeah. So I get the Target. I just want to get a bunch of T-shirts that are cool. And, you know, I got Batman. Okay. I got Superman.
Okay.
I got, what else do I got? I got Nirvana.
Okay.
Which isn't a superhero, but a band. What's that? Who's the duck? The duck that's rich? Donald Duck.
Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge. Yeah, I got Uncle Scrooge.
Scrooge McDuck.
On a bunch of money. You know what I mean? I thought that's good for like the urban rooms.
Yeah, I'm flashing Scrooge McDuck. All right?
Yeah.
Who wants a taste of this? Who wants a lick?
You know, I just feel like I don't want to grow up. And, you know, and I think the thing is, too, like, I like people say I look younger for my age. I'm 50, so they say you don't look 50, and I'm like, well, I attribute that to good eating, and I don't have any kids. I've never been blessed with children. My wife has a daughter who's older, you know, care, but I don't have I haven't raised like 2 or 3 kids. Which I think you have children.
I have a son.
Yeah, how old's your son?
22.
All right, so yeah, so you think that you know, aged you?
He didn't turn out like me, so it actually reversed my aging process, because I don't know how my parents did it with me. So
yeah, I had 3 older brothers.
All right,
so it was, you know, it was always like I know my brothers drove my parents crazy. You know, that's why as the youngest, I always try to like not fuck up. You know, I was always like I gotta try to make this easy on my parents.
Well, it was weird, you know, it's like having my son changed my life, but. I wasn't prepared to have kids. Like it's different with women and with men with children, because when it's inside of you, it's a part of you, you know. And I men don't get that. I mean, the closest I've been was like a really good barbecue I had one time. That was like the closest I've ever been to like I'm nurturing something inside. So I don't get it. All these things are happening. It's like. I don't understand what's happening. It's like I'm watching a Ryan Gosling movie, you know? And she's like, we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. And I'm like, I just want to put the mattress and box spring back on the floor again. Right. Can we do the bed keeps getting higher? So I didn't know what was going on. And we go into the delivery room, and I'm doing jokes in there. I think I'm doing a show. Right. I have no idea what I'm doing in there, and I'm making very off color jokes, like, you know, because
in the delivery room,
right? Because they cut her open a little bit to get the baby. Right. I'm like, hey doc, you want to maybe show that up a little tighter? I want to get back in there again, you know, brand new, you know. And I think I'm killing, because she's on an epidural, and
she doesn't know what's going on.
I mean, if she was in her right mind, she would have stabbed me in the throat. But she's like, we have a baby. And I'm like, I have no connection to this baby, right? And I go out, and they have the window where all the kids are with the socks in their head, and they're all screaming.
Right.
And I'm waiting for my son to be in the window, and they're all screaming. And there's one kid in the middle that's not screaming, just looking around.
Yeah.
The shifty eyes back and forth. He's, you know, what? Shut up, you know? And the nurse comes over. It's like, are you waiting for your baby? I'm, yeah, my name is McClellan, waiting for my baby. Oh, your baby's already in there. Where's my baby? It's right in the middle. You mean the one that's an hour old and has a shitty attitude? We're having a baby!
You know, I was at the bank, leaving the bank, and it was a Hispanic woman with this little girl. She was dressed so cute, like, you know, they were a little dressed, and the way she was walking, I just thought, you know, it's like sentimental. You think, an adorable kid. Like, she's just like, you know, like I'm at the bank, you know what I mean? And I had that moment where, like, I actually sat there and go, you know, I never had my own child. And at this age, I don't think I'm going to have one. So I had to get, I went to that moment.
Well,
like,
it depends, you know. Well, if somebody turns their back, you could have it in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe I get like a waitress at one of those comedy clubs.
You just, you know, you hang out in front of the 7-Eleven, see who's, you know, just looking the other way at the Slurpee machine in your
Well, I don't mind doing it, like, scientifically.
I just advocated for stealing babies.
Yeah, well,
Great show, everybody.
Yeah, everybody, I'm going to go out and, be, you know, that, you know, maybe I should just be a teacher and take one of my students.
Ooh.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
But I'm thinking, I'm on the run. Any open mics in Guadalajara?
Right.
That's how they'd catch me if I was on the run.
Yeah, you'd be doing a show.
Yeah, I'd be on stage.
Hey,
like,
where's the woman?
Yeah, where's it?
In the trunk.
Is there a Doguito Diego? Doguito Diego. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. See?
You get the 4-minute light. So anyway, we're talking about shirts and being young and stuff. And you know, that's why I use the stage name Dougie, because it's more of it. Like, that's who I feel like I'm more of. Like during the day, I'm a fiduciary. I'm responsible for managing money and people's retirement assets. So I've had that responsibility. I've been given that.
So you need to have a stage
name. Yeah, I gotta have.
They don't want to know who you are in real life, you know. Well, like, Mr. Funny Man.
Well, both worlds have collided. I've reached that point. It's weird because it's great because I disclose that to all my clients. No, and anybody I meet now, I actually do that full disclosure at the end of the meeting. And I basically, it's funny.
It's like we're on CNBC. And just for full disclosure,
yeah.
I tell jokes.
Yeah, by the way, I tell dick jokes. But it's funny because, you know, there's a commercial out there that promotes CFP, Certified Financial Planner. Now, I don't have a CFP, but I teach CFP CE, Continued Education. Just give me, so
yeah, it's, yeah, you started to lose me there. I'm like,
yeah, well,
CFP CE.
All I'm saying is that I know the material.
I thought I was watching Schoolhouse Rock for a minute.
I know the material because I lived it, but I didn't go through all the bullshit process and the 3-4 grand to get the actual, you know, taking the courses and doing a delegation. Anyway, so, there's a CFP commercial that sits there as a guy who was actually a DJ, and he sits there and he goes,
braids and they cut the hair, right?
I think 401k is a good way to go. And these dopey people are like, I think that's a great idea. And I'm like, you know what? This is hysterically stupid because that's not how it goes.
No.
That's not how a meeting goes. You know, I can tell you a lot of times the meetings go like, listen, the last guy I used to work with, I didn't like him and he cheated. He was this and I want to make sure. I'm like, I'm out of here.
I think 401k is a way to go. Really? Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Nobody would have thought of that on their own.
Yeah. It's, well, listen,
thank
it is.
You, dreadlocks.
Exactly. So I have to do that. I have to disclose it. But all here's right. the thing. I'm lucky because I get the, I'm my own boss. You know, my clients know and everything. But I sometimes, like, when I was away for 2 weeks and I came home, you know, and then, of course, you know, I'm getting acclimated. And today the market's down 300 something points because, you know, Trump may have given, you know, here's the interesting part about it. Reality of it is it stuff that's already been, he used terminology.
This whole Trump thing is like a Magic the Gathering game gone wrong.
Yeah.
It really is just like, no, I was using a trickery spell and it's like, man, it's just like, it's like Dungeons and Dragons, like a big fight down in the basement on a Friday night. Between the neighborhood kids, and it's I love when they, listen, I'm not taking sides, but I love when they try to blame the Democrats. It's like there's 3 Democrats in all of in Washington now. They're like, oh, you did this. What? I didn't do nothing. I was sleeping.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, this has been, it's getting to the point where, like, they have been up the guy's ass since day one, the Democrats, and number two, and as they should be. Here's a guy that doesn't have the experience, so they're sitting back waiting for him to fall. You know what I mean? And that's what that party should be doing. You know, so do what you need to do. And what he shouldn't be doing is doing it now. Let's get this whole thing figured out. I'm of the belief. Here's what I think. Above all, any type of politics, I think that if you want global peace, you got the United States. The United States and Russia have to be buddies. The only way that you're going to have global peace is if somehow we figure it out together, and China jumps in on that, right? That the 3-buddy system, you know, like in a good Thai restaurant, you get the 3 buddies, you get the scallops, the shrimp, and the calamari.
If you want to hook up Russia and the United States, you have to find like, you know, like you're two bullies in school.
Right.
They got to find one united enemy. And Florida, I really think.
Just go against Florida. Fucking. You know, I wonder if that, listen, if we can have the answers to global peace, right? Global peace, prosperity for everybody. The only thing the United States has got to give up is Florida. Like, you know, like let Kim Jong-un just blow the fuck out of it, right? Just level it. It's not there anymore. And let's say there's something else, you know, whatever we figure out. We're done. That's it.
That'll make Georgia the Florida of the United States now.
Yeah, it's like...
I don't know if they're ready for that.
It's like, yeah.
That's not, a lot of responsibility, yeah. Georgia. All right, you got to step it up.
People in Georgia are proving they're not ready for like unexpected things like snow.
No, I mean, because listen, Florida is at the cutting edge of goofball technology.
Yeah.
And I read a story today, and a guy he's suing a girl he went on a date with to a movie theater.
Yeah.
She was texting. And I'm like, where in Florida? I'm like, Austin, Texas. Okay, now they're starting. Texas is like, nah, we've had it with this Florida domination. We are taking it back.
Yeah. People are getting disappointed that Florida's outshining everybody in the dumb scale.
I'm suing you for $17.75.
Yeah, isn't that great? We're going to pull that story in like second segment. Things you need to know. It's going to be funny. That's a good way to start us off on that. I don't know how your dates went this weekend if you're out there dating.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
Yeah, but this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Shaw. I'm here with John McClellan, who's going to be headlining tonight at Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show, just $10. Chris Topher's your feature, and I am opening the show. $10, great Italian food.
Delicious food, and it's a really, you know, I don't make fun of the places I work for. I just think that's low class, but this is a great restaurant, and you guys, the last time I was there, made me feel like $1 million.
Yeah, it was.
So I have nothing but positive things. It's a great, listen, for $10, it's a great quality show. The food is off the charts. Your drinks are off the charts. It's a good location.
Great staff, friendly.
It really
everything.
Is. It's a fine place.
So if you're watching us, so let's go out to Tavolino's tonight and come see the show. And we'll be back with what you need to know right after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Why don't you come out and see a show? You can catch me April 20th and 23rd at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. May 3rd through the 6th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas. May 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the Looney Bin in Wichita, Kansas. May 19th, I'll be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in Claremont, Florida. May 31st at the Mississippi Moon Bar at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa. And on June 1st through the 3rd, I'll be at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And remember, we want to make you laugh, so come on out and enjoy live comedy anywhere you possibly can. Thanks for listening, guys, and now back to the show.
Hey, it's Peter Leonard. You can join me every Wednesday morning as I co-host on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for what you need to know. I'm here with John McClellan, by the way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you need to know.
Touring comedian who's going to be headlining Tavolino's tonight. And, you know, before we get into the subject matter, you know, we were talking before the show a little about the challenges of booking. And, like, I had a down day in the sense that the market was down. So as a profession who's responsible for people's well-being and financial retirement, you know, but you don't react to it. I tell people, listen, this is
It's a buying opportunity.
If anything, it is. And not to mention, you know, some people said the potential outcomes. Listen, you may not like it. If I doubt that President Trump will be impeached. I don't see it happening. But
I just think that would just devastate what we look like.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I don't think it's going to happen. It's too much to happen. And, you know, I think a lot of stuff with the FBI, I don't think there's collusion with the Russians and stuff like that. And all that. And here's the thing, things will move on either way. You know, the president of the United States is not going to dictate the global economy and how it's, you know, seen. So, but then, like I said, I started thinking about stuff. It's funny how, like, as a comic, I'll be on the road, I'm doing stuff, and everything's great because you're doing what you're doing. And then the minute you're not doing something, it's like, I should be doing something.
Right.
Right? And there's challenges. Like, I mentioned, I was excited. I found out today what I was It's a weird day. They started out with, I reached out to Gotham Comedy Club in New York City,
yeah.
who had the TV show Gotham Comedy Live that
right,
you spent
access. Access TV, yeah.
And I had been approved to be on the show. I had, you know, basically the process was you get approved, and then you're on a list, and then from that list they pick people. Once they pick the headline or the MC,
right.
Then they get people, to blah, blah, and they put the shows together. But it didn't get picked up again for another season. So I found that out today. Which, yeah, it sucks. It's because it's a great it's an opportunity for people to, you know, get on, be seen by a national TV. But what's great about it is the owner there, at least whenever I speak to him, he always responds. You know what I mean? It's great when a club owner just gets back to you.
They have an amazing reputation.
Yeah.
They really do.
And it's a great place. And basically secured a spot when I come to New York. I think I'm going in October on one of the shows. So that was great.
That is good.
Sorry to hear the show didn't go on. And then I said, Wednesday's my avail sending. I sent all my avails out to comedy clubs. Not all of them, but the ones in that week. And I actually heard back from a club. So while I was, you know, emotionally, I got to admit, you know, between the stock market being down, you know, and just, you know, still getting acclimated for being out of town and not working out like I had been being out of town. Because that sucks. You know, I try to work out four days a week.
It's hard to have a routine when you're traveling places, because sometimes you're in a place for a couple of days and sometimes you're not.
Right.
And, you know, you're in a car, you're in a rental car, you're going on a bus, a train. It's just, it's like, man, I got to get to where I'm going, you know, and you don't have time to think about it.
Yeah. You ever wear Cozzies?
In Virginia Beach?
Yeah.
I've been to the club. It's just people say very nice things about it. I've done some sets there, but it's one of those things where, you know, I send my stuff to her. I try to talk to her, but there's a lot of guys that have already been there. You know, and
yeah.
It's just what is she going to do? Not hire one of the guys that works there to put me on? So you have to stay in front of people. You have to listen. We live in an internet age where everybody's emailing and texting, but there's really a lot of value to make a personal appearance and just stopping by and saying hello,
right.
and doing this. Now, my hometown, Akron, Ohio, I used to work a club there that Ripper Owens, who was the lead singer of Judas Priest, who when Rob Halford dropped out of Judas Priest, he took over. He was the lead singer in a Judas Priest cover band.
Okay.
It was a million to one shot. You know, and everybody
it's like the movie Rockstar
in a cover band
with Mark Wahlberg.
Like, that was it. That was their chance. He blew it. So I would work that. It was like a rock club. It was a different thing. So they kind of sold it and moved to a different direction. So I went to the comedy club in town and I had a guy you know, say something to me. But I went to him in person, and the funniest part was you know, we're playing that game when it's like, you know this person? No. You know this guy? No.
Right.
You know this guy? No. You know, it goes back and forth. You know this guy? No. You know this guy? No. And then finally he's like, you know, I'm just a crazy Lebanese guy. I just trying to find out. I'm like, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up in this town, my best friend was Lebanese. His dad owned a strip club, the back bar. You know Fred Boucher? All it takes is one strip club,
right.
and you're in there. But I would show up there every time I was going to see my parents, and he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a date. You know, you put the effort in. You can't always do that. You can't go, I'm going to go to Colorado Springs every week and suck it up. But
yeah, and try to get in. That's
like making a sales call. You got to keep. Got to keep showing.
95% failure rate. You know, it's one thing, and you know, and some of the younger comics get frustrated and this and that. And listen, I'm a veteran. I would at 10 years now, you know, it gets frustrating a little bit. But, you know, like I said, I posted today on Facebook, you know, I'm at the stage of my comedy career where I could use a big break. I'd love to have a big break or a helping hand. Like meeting you, like somebody says, hey. And I mentioned, like, I was.
Here. I just went on Facebook Live. I was trying to share it, and I'm on Facebook Live, and then it's showing us on Facebook. Yeah, I'm sorry. I blew it.
That's right. And I lost my train of thought.
95% failure rate. Yeah, comics so, get discouraged.
So, but, you know, you still get discouraged. You know what I mean? I mean, I battled that. Like a year or two ago, I was dealing with that, and one of my comedy mentors said to me, he says, look, where are you now compared to where you were a year or two ago? And I'm like, well, like, for example, I got into Looney Bins.
Good club. Yeah. There's four clubs, right?
Yeah, I started working like McGurdy. You know, so there's now for me, in the last 2 years, I've been excited as a comic because I'm booked out. Like, I'm booked out through July, August.
Great.
You know what I mean? I got dates to fill in June and stuff. But now with being in the summer, I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just take some time and
go to the beach for a minute.
Yeah,
you know?
You know what I mean? Live another life. My wife's all excited because I don't know if you're a soccer fan, but we're going to be in Orlando in June. You know, what the day it was? July or something like that. Where we're going to go there and watch a big game like Everton from England. And
I know Everton.
Everton.
My buddy from Liverpool. Everton guy.
No, wait. Was it? It's either that or Tottenham Hotspurs. I think it's the Hotspurs.
I don't know them.
You don't know
Everton,
them?
I know.
But they're going to play like a French team. And we're going to go. And thanks to Ignite Hospitality, by the way, if you're
Thank
a comic.
Thank you, Ignite Hospitality.
I got a hotel right there in downtown for like $30. And so that's going to be, you know, so I'm doing that. So I'm going to break the mold and do that kind of stuff. But you know, it's tough because you want, you know, that, and that's the thing. You know, I said I want to get to, but then I kept reminding myself, I want to get to the next level, but I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait my turn. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. Some of the best posts that posted on that, some people said it's going to happen. Just, you know what I mean? Just be ready. And one of my favorite quotes ever is,
I was like, be ready. For what?
Well, I'll say this quote and you tell me what you think. Like, fortune.
Be ready. Okay, I'm ready.
Fortune favors the prepared mind. And I think with that space, here's the way I think of it. I'm ready. Like, I post on there, I got an hour of material, I got 30 minutes of clean material. You know, all the components are there, right? And it, you know, obviously, I'm just going to keep it. But the components are there, which means I'm ready. Like, I'm ready for it to happen. I don't want to show early. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go out and try to, you know, that's like people ask me about headlining. I'm like, listen, I'll headline when people ask me to headline. I don't want to be the guy who says, I want to headline. Like, I'd rather be a really super opening or feature, you know, that most people say that fucking, you know, to get to the point like that guy shouldn't be featuring. That's what you want to do, right?
In a perfect world, you want everybody to ask you, but sometimes you got to push your way through it in a little bit, you know, listen, so you may have to be there before you're ready, too. There's a lot of lessons in comedy, and comics aren't really good about sharing lessons. They're not really good about they either keep it to themselves or they give you bullshit information.
Right.
You know? And one of the things that it took me a long time to figure out is funny is not the most important thing. All right, you look at the people that have everyone's attention. They're not always the funniest people out there.
Yeah.
But it's like, let's use an example, and I don't want to make this guy good or bad, but Larry the Cable Guy, okay?
Right.
You may think he's funny. You may not think he's funny. But he's got his name on a bag of potato chips. I was like, well, he's not funny. Maybe, maybe not. But he figured out something that I haven't figured out.
Yeah.
All right, he's on TV every day.
Right.
He figured something out. So, yeah. You think it's all about funny? It's not. It's not like a test in math. Like, oh, I had the best score.
Right.
No, not you know, or yeah. I finished first. There's a lot more factors.
And a big part of that is never to compare ourselves to others. You know, that's a big no-no. You know, I think that gets us in a lot of trouble as comics when we compare ourselves to others. Like we were talking about another comic, you know, during the break that want. You know, it's a funny dude and everything, but you know. One of the things that are holding the guy back is that he's like out there complaining about it
all the time,
and that's why I brought up like when you read my post, would you consider that when I mentioned the one I just mentioned, did you think that was a complaining post or that was
that's almost like a self affirmation,
yeah,
like I need this, but I need to tell myself I need this,
right,
and sometimes you put up a post not for everybody else but for yourself,
right? Isn't that funny on Facebook? I mentioned yesterday in the show, like I'm actually sick of it. Like especially the political stuff. Like, I don't give a shit anymore what anybody thinks about. You know, I watch the news. That's when I want to see what's going on in the world of politics, I watch the news and decipher the bullshit from the, you know, and try to do what I can. I'm not going to go on Facebook and listen to hear what my buddy Bill thinks, you know, or, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck.
Well, let me use this as an example with jokes, all right? I think there's three levels of jokes. There's the level, first level is the Facebook joke. Okay, I just want to shoot it out there and get it out there right now. I'm not thinking about it, and, you know, maybe the most hackneyed premise in the world or whatever it is, but I'm just shooting it out on Facebook.
Right.
And then there's the next level, the Twitter level joke. We're like, all right, let me think about this. I want to put the words in the right order. Right. I need to use 140 characters. I want it to make sense. You know, 140 characters. I want it to have a beginning, a middle, an end, and a punchline. And then the third level is, I'm just going to use that in my act, okay? I'm not sharing that with everybody.
Right.
But that's what Facebook is. It's a broadcast. It's just the world's biggest comment section. Like, everyone comments mean something, and they don't, because you don't take the time to plan them out. You just blurt it out.
Right.
Here's the best example. You remember, not the one with the concerts, but when everyone says, here are the 10 albums that influenced my life.
Right.
Do you remember that thread on Facebook?
Right.
Okay, and everyone posted, all right, I'm going to try to find the coolest albums in my collection. Oh yes, Led Zeppelin, The Replacements, and The Cure. All right, these things influenced your life. How?
Right.
Tell me how. Don't just post
ten
cool
albums.
So
you're saying they're answering.
Tell
it
me
to try
why AC/DC's Black and Black changed your life,
right,
or inspired you. Because if it did, that's what people don't think. I'm throwing it out there.
Let me answer your question. I'm going to answer that question.
Which one from 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, no, that one about which album influenced my life, and I would say it was Queen. The bicycle race.
There was Night at the Opera. There was Day at the Races.
Was that the one?
Well,
Day at the Races.
I think
the one that had the naked.
Day at the Races.
Remember the one with the naked
Night
women
the
riding
opera,
bikes.
Opera. News of the World.
Yeah, News of the World. The game, which I have a signed copy out there. By the way,
and then Hot Space.
Something like that. And there was later ones like
off the top of my head. That's
pretty
not
good.
Bad, right?
That's pretty good. Like a jukebox, buddy.
And the Day of the Races, Night at the Opera. I don't know if I have the right order on that.
But this was the one that had the naked women riding bikes on it, which, you know, fat bottom girls,
right.
And that was because my brother was a big Queen fan, my oldest brother. And obviously, when you looked at the album and had the naked women, that was a bit influential on me, you know, back in that day, you know, and then, you know, the music. And then, you know, I played guitar and I sang, and, you know, so that was an influential album to me, you know, because it introduced me to a different rock. I was listening to Kiss and, you know, shit like that. And meanwhile, you know, you hear this music, which, you know, compared
it's
to,
a little more grandiose than Kiss, but
bit.
I will, in the defense of Kiss, when I was, people ask me all the time, what made you want to be a stand-up comic? And
right.
I said, well, I was a kid, I saw Kiss in concert, and I wanted to be a rock star.
Right.
And then Bruce Willis put an album out, and I didn't want to be a rock star anymore.
Fucking Bruce Willis.
So,
have you ever dressed up for Kiss? What was your favorite character?
Well, no, I've never dressed up as a Kiss character, and I never will.
Right.
But it begins and ends with Ace Frehley with me.
Yeah, I was always
that
Ace
guy.
Frehley guy.
You take him out of the equation, and I name two or three songs that they've done that are worth a squirt of piss without Ace Frehley in them.
That's true.
And they've had hits, but they're not. It's not Cold Gin, and it's not. Shock me, baby.
Yeah.
Ace Frehley, lead guitar. That guy is the master.
Detroit rocks it. You know, by the way, when they went solo, you know, he had the more successful
He had the
album.
Most successful solo album. He had New York Groove, which was written by Russ Ballard, by the way. And then Rip It Out.
Rip It Out.
He still does
Take
live in concert. So Gene Simmons got close to the top 40 with Radioactive.
Right.
And then Paul Stanley and Peter Criss were in the dumper. But yeah, Ace had a top 10 hit with
that was
New
my
group,
that was my face makeup I wore one time. And
yeah.
When I was a kid for Halloween, we didn't have much money when I was that little. So I really, you know, I put together, it was more like a Paul Stanley Ace Frehley. Like
just going crazy with the makeup.
Just
doing a Kiss style.
Yeah. Somebody said, what are you? Some Kiss. Like, which one?
I'm like all of them all together. Right.
I'm like the
I'm
love
the whole
child.
Band, man.
Hey, let's get to some of the stuff you need to know, by the way. Fat but fit is a big fat myth. you know, they say, like, you know, something like we're portly, you know, we're both, you know, a little, you're thinner than I am, but I think, you know, we're both over, like, I don't know, how would you call it? Not portly, like husky. You know, we're like, we're thick guy. We're not, you know, we could bench press. We could do some sit-ups and stuff. You know what I mean? We could, like, 22 push-up challenge. We could do that kind of stuff. But, you know, they say.
I have a word for it. I was trying to think of something funny. I'm sorry, everybody. I really am. I'll make it up to you tonight at the show.
Yeah. But the idea was, the idea that people can be fat but medically fit is a myth, says experts speaking in Portugal. Well, what do they know in Portugal besides olive oil? The early work at Yet Unpublished involved looking at records of 3.5 million people in the UK. Well, that's not fair, you know.
Well, hold on a second. What the story is, you if you're fat, you're not in shape?
The idea was, like, you could be heavy, overweight, and still be in shape.
No, like you can't.
Like,
No, you can't.
But they're talking like heart and your other all the, you know, your blood, this and that, you know.
What kind of, I need to just fool myself.
I think a fat person thought that.
Like, yeah, hey, I'm in shape.
Now, when I think about stuff like that, I'm reminded one time when I used to play softball, like men's softball league, and there was this guy that used to play on the really good team. These guys are all fucking ringers. You used to remember them. They're all like ex-pro baseball, college players and stuff. They used to rip the shit out of the ball. And, you know, we're just guys that wanted to play softball. So, you know, we play, and there was this one guy, he was huge. He played third base. He played the hot corner. That's the hot corner. You got to play third base. If you're playing third base on a baseball team or in a softball team, that means you got the glove. That means you can move.
You got to pick it.
And you got an arm.
And you got to be able to throw.
You got to be able to move your feet. Aside from the pitcher, that is the most all-around spot. You got to be fast, agile.
I would say shortstop above that, but
yeah, you're right. Shortstop, you're right. That's the bigger right. But third base, you got to be that person. This guy was huge. Okay, and this guy, when you hit this fucking guy would move with the grace of a gazelle, like, you know what I mean? And that, so here's when the first time I read this story, that's what I thought. I thought fat but fit. This guy could have been fit. He moved pretty good. You know, it's like an alligator. He moves fast, you know, for a little bit, and then sits down and eats a kid in Orlando in a pond.
And where's that guy today?
I don't know what he's doing now. I don't follow all the guys that played softball.
He's got a pacemaker.
You
think? Let's not lie to ourselves.
You're probably right. Probably right.
I don't know who wrote that story.
Fat guy.
fat guy.
Now, in the last day or two, something you need to know if you're not aware of it. They are removing Confederate statues in Georgia.
Okay.
This week they're removing Lee. You know, the statue of him on a horse. You know, and you know, I'm a Yankee. I'm from New York. So it's not like, if I was around during the Civil War, I'd imagine I would have been on the side of the North, right? I don't have a banjo, you know.
I don't think you needed one. I don't think that was...
What part of the criteria? So
if you had an army with a guy with all, everybody had a banjo, that would be those would be the first guys killed.
Let's send the
infantry. No, let's send the banjo guys out first. And then we can just take care of that.
Yeah, the
all
thing's
right?
metal.
Then we have a little peace and quiet, and we don't have to worry about Slim Pickens. And
somebody probably figured out early. Stop shooting the banjo; it's metal. Aim for the head. You always felt bad for the drum corps, right? The people with the flags and everything.
Yeah, those guys. That's just like they're the first ones out there. Yeah. Like the guys that just I'm going to be a drummer. No, you're going to be.
And you know, there was some asshole on the other side said, "Let's shoot the drummer. I don't like the way he's. You know, I don't like his beat. Take him out. You know." But my point is, like, here's the thing. I mean, these statues have been around for a long time.
Right.
Right? And they've been, and to me, these are pinnacle people in part of our history. Right? Robert E. Lee was the leader of the Confederate Army. My point is, this was, the South didn't want to be part of what the North, the government, was doing.
That's correct.
They didn't agree. And I'm sure, I know slavery wasn't just the only one.
There was a lot of things going on. It was really multi-level.
There were people that thought that they had, you know, they didn't want to be told what to do. And, you know, the slavery issue is one. They wanted to be able to continue it. I understand that. That's wrong. And, you know, but to say that we're going to just change the name and act like it never happened is an issue with me. Because again, it's not like, I don't need to see a statue of Robert E. Lee. You know, I know who he was and stuff like that. But it's almost like saying, wiping out your history. Like, as a human being, if somebody said to you, listen, every bad memory, every bad thing that ever happened to you, or every bad thing you ever do, we're going to wipe it out of your memory.
Okay.
Right? Now let me ask you something. Do you think if you did that, let's say from this moment on, every bad thing you've ever done in your life, it was erased. Do you think you'd go back and make a lot of the same mistakes?
Within minutes.
Right? Because you don't have
within minutes.
You don't have anything to fall back on.
Okay. Hey, you guys want to try cocaine? Sure.
Hey, dude. Yeah. How bad can
it be? You guys want to shoot heroin? Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go down on a hooker?
Yeah.
I think even then that memory might not.
No. I think it's because it's celebrated, you know, and it represents something that seems to be very racist, and we've become more and more aware of racism in the last few years. So some people say it's gotten out of control. But listen, when I was a kid, I don't know about you were a kid, but everybody told racist jokes,
right?
Ethnic jokes, slur jokes. That's what you told. Those were the ones, and it was acceptable. And you saw them on television,
right?
You know, and it got to the point where, you know what, we don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And I understand that. And you know, you don't want to go to the extreme way with Bill Cosby going, well, 60 people said that I raped them because they're racist.
Interesting you bring it up. So Bill Cosby, basically, with everything going on, he thought he would tag on some way, because this guy's grasping for straws. You know, he this guy's going down with Joe Paterno, Armstrong.
First of all, he's 80, okay?
Right.
And you're not going to be the sharpest guy out there. Second of all, Cosby was all about nonsense anyways with
right.
his comedies. And then the goobadook and that, whatever, you know, and that kind of thing. And listen, if you're accused of sexually being improper with 60 women,
yeah.
what are you going to do? Yeah. Caught
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I mean, to claim it's racism. And the thing that's funny that there's black and white women. But to, you know, again, it's a stab. It's like reaching for straws. You know, again, it's sad to me. It's like, I was trying to write a joke about it. How, you know, who fell further, you know, Lance Armstrong, right. Who lost all the titles of the bike races, Mel Gibson, Joe Paterno. Right.
Well,
I mean, think about people
I think
that
Mel Gibson has redeemed himself.
Yeah. He's come back a bit.
He has redeemed himself. Lance Armstrong, everybody here, you shouldn't use drugs in sports.
Right.
I don't know about that, man. The guy clipped it. Yeah, listen, I was a Barry Bonds fan, you know. And
right.
Like, well, he used drugs. I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. We shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Well, he should, because of all the guys using drugs, he was the best one.
Right.
All right. You got Girardi and Rafael Palmeiro. And this guy was off there. He was superhuman.
Right.
So let's put maybe a little drug section in the Hall of Fame, and we'll have him in it, because he was the best one.
Yeah, it should be. In other words, the Baseball Hall of Fame, there should be like a section there where, you know, enhanced
Gaylord
section.
Gaylord Perry's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's an admitted cheater.
That's a knuckleballer, isn't it?
The spitball.
Yeah.
But he was a happy guy about it.
Yeah.
So he handled it differently.
Different.
Yeah, but back to the Cosby.
Like you said, by the way, it's how you deal with it. You know, I think we're going to close this segment with whatever's going on in your life, whether you're fat and you think you're healthy, you know, or whether Trump
raping
gets
impeached.
Women
and,
raping women and hiding behind
just
jokes.
Just be happy about it.
Yeah, just be happy about it. Don't complain.
Okay, I'm sure. Listen, I know we're getting already good. Why are you making this? No, that's not how I feel.
What's up, David Herman? By the way, on Facebook Live. Yeah, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with something we called Straight from the Headlines. Now, these are stories straight from the headlines. We got to make fun of these stories.
Right out of there, man.
And as you mentioned earlier, there are probably a lot of people from Florida. And, you know, and one of the stories you mentioned, that we're going to go over that story,
Austin,
by the way.
Texas, yeah.
Yeah, a guy gets pissed because girl's texting during a movie. We'll be back with that right after this.
Hi, this is Ty Rivera, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. He's not a dickhead, and he's not popping peas.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Wow, turn down the volume. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time
that was cooking, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll edit it a little
bit.
Sorry,
everybody.
Clean it up.
Give
later.
Me a minute to get your hearing aids sorted
right.
out.
Straight from the headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. Why don't we start to that story you had talked about. Man sues first date from hell for texting during the movie. Director chimes in. What that part of the... So, you've read the story.
Yeah.
In other words, the guy's on a first date, right?
At a movie theater, which is the worst place.
The worst movie.
First date, you want to be able to a place where you could talk.
Right.
You can't talk at the movies. You take a woman to a movie where you're embarrassed by her. All
right.
You're dark in there.
Yeah.
That's why you do that.
You take a woman that you're going to, you know, don't want anybody else to know you're having sex with. To the, like, right, you know, we're all the way in the back. You know,
sitting
then
in the balcony. Yeah. In the very last row.
Sit back
Eddie
there. Get out of the movie. Go back. Do your thing. Drop her off when. What's the worst thing you could do on a first date? Texas man is suing a first date from hell for texting during a movie. Brandon Vesmar, 37. Who hasn't learned shit yet, says the woman pulled out her phone 15 minutes into showing of the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which I haven't seen yet, at an Austin theater. Vesmar told the news that she used her phone 10 to 20 times in 15-minute period, despite asking her to stop. Then he suggested she go text outside the theater, so she left and never returned.
Okay. Couple things.
Yeah.
Thing number one, this guy's Tinder stock has gone way down. All right. The fact that he doesn't know how to do a first date. And the second of all, the woman was texting during the date. And she said, oh, and go outside and text. It's over. All right.
Yeah.
So he's getting swiped.
Yeah. He's gonna get a bad Uber.
Get off your phone. Yeah. Really, get off the
now,
phone.
You know, as a comic, you know, I've seen comics flip out on people that are texting or writing, doing stuff, like sitting somewhere in the front. Like, I don't think it's ever happened to me yet, but I've seen it happen where somebody just comics like, what are you doing? The fuck are you texting?
That doesn't bother me. People, you know, let's say, for example, you did have a child and you and your wife were at a comedy show and the babysitter texted you.
Right.
Are you supposed to ignore it? Are you supposed to get up in the middle of the show to answer it? No, this could be an emergency. This is a situation. Where do you keep this? Where do you keep that?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that... I'm not that hypersensitive where, like, if you're texting during my show...
But if it was this chick who picked it, maybe went back and forth 5, 10 different times...
Right, but just kept going to it. But get off your phone.
Yeah.
Just people... And the phones, they're out of their mind, man. They're really out of their mind because people are like, oh, yeah... You know, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. It's been crazy.
Right.
Really? Well, you know what? Has it been really crazy? Or are you just telling me that? Because when something crazy happens, like a shooting, everyone's on their phones. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. So there's gunfire going on and you have time to get to your phone. But this thing is like, no, it's been, so what crazy event happened that would be up and above a shooting or some kind of tsunami?
Yeah, crazy event. I couldn't find my chapstick.
Right, but just get off your phone. Put it away.
The guy sued for like $17. Oh, I don't know what attorney would take that case.
You got to be on after the vaginal mesh ads on television to take that game.
Yeah.
All right, you got to be the 3 a.m. lawyer.
I got one of those class action suits today because I released a
vaginal mesh one?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, something you want to tell me?
I was wondering where that bleeding was happening. But yeah, I leased, I guess, a BMW. So there was like one of these things, if you leased a certain whatever over a period of time, like you go through the trouble of finding all and getting all the documentation and proving it, and you end up getting like $40 or $50, which, you know, if it's worth an hour of your time to do paperwork. But the director, James Gunn, chimed in and said he's siding with Vesmar, the gentleman. Why stop at suing? She deserves jail time, he tweeted. That would just be worth it right there, just to have the director of the movie like tweet you on your Twitter. You know,
wait,
give
this
you
is
some
the guy that directed a scene, and this was the dialogue. Groot.
Yeah,
all right,
Groot.
Can you do it again? Groot. Yeah, let's send him to jail for texting. All right. If we're getting that loose with the law, well, I can't wait to see this guy on his phone somewhere.
Yeah. We can't get Hillary or Trump in jail, but we'll see what happens.
We need, we're going to hit these people. This is how it's going to be done.
Here's another story. Mother's Day gift used to hide 12 pounds of meth.
What, that's not the gift?
Yeah.
Hey, Mom, listen, I don't know what your mom does, but maybe
Happy
a little
Mother's
meth,
Day.
Maybe a little, listen, Calgon doesn't work anymore. Take me away with the meth.
Arizona deputies opened a wrapped Mother's Day gift and found 12 pounds of methamphetamine. Navajo County deputies seized the meth, cocaine, and a handgun. Boy, she was getting a whole bevy of gifts.
That's some mom.
What a mom.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. Here's a handgun and some meth.
Some cocaine.
That's a gift.
And cocaine. Alejandro Luis Ruiz and Jasmine Bustamante Castro were jailed on drug trafficking charges. We would advise purchasing legal gifts this Mother's Day, Navajo County Sheriff's Office said. That guy is a jokester.
Well, let me ask you, what was the gift that they opened up? Because I don't want to buy that.
Yeah, the deputy became suspicious after stopping Ruiz and Castro on I-40 on Holbrook. The vehicle was searched after police dog alerted the deputy to the door, the odor of drugs. The meth had an estimated street value of $453,000. You mean you have that much money for meth and you bought me this shitty gift to this... this refrigerator.
There
magnet.
Was also an Outback gift card in there.
Yeah. Which, by the way, these gift cards, I got a few $100 in gift cards on my birthday.
All right.
And I still haven't used it.
For
like,
what?
Well, that's a thing. I got to I'm thinking about I want to get cameras and stuff for the studio, or I may just want to get like a laptop specifically for doing the podcast and everything.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean? And I'd use it, just things used for everything.
So how do you use those Bass Pro Shop gift cards to do that?
I know. How do you get it? Do they sell laptops at Pro? I know. Can you imagine somebody gives you, they're all Visa ones, which is pretty cool.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Mike Sweeney says, is Calgon considered bath salts? Eat your face and noharmony.com. Comedy's hard, buddy. Just want to say.
Wait, what was the website?
Well, we were talking about earlier.
You said noharmony.com?
Yeah, noharmony.com.
That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It's funny because I'll say there's no harmony. Like when I, on stage, if I say anybody married here, and they'll be like, nobody. I'm like, oh, there's no harmony in this. There's no eHarmony in this town.
Noharmony.com.
Yeah. Well, it's like my ancestry.com.
All right, so he's ripping off your act.
Stop fucking being a hack. No, I'm like it. But that's one of the jokes I put out on Facebook. So that's the kind of stuff like, on stage, like when you, in between, like just starting the show or something happens, like I heard a comic the other, in the last month used it, like people walked in like 15 minutes into the show and they said, can I get you guys something like a watch? I've heard a bunch of comics use that.
That was a hack line when I got started.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think I used it once or twice. And every time I did use it in a show because people were late, I said, it's an old, I even said, it's an old fucking joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want people, to me, it's just, it's funny to say it, but give credit where credit's due.
I'm a guy that doesn't like to talk to the audience.
No,
feel you came to see a show, not be in a show. I have jokes to do. Listen, if you got something funny to say, I want to hear it. And there'll be times where I'll ask people questions and I'll talk to people, but I don't spend a lot of time talking to people.
Yeah.
I really don't like making fun of them because what will happen is now it stops the show. Now they want to talk because everything's a comment section now.
Right.
All right? Everything. All right. So this is, I paid money, so I'm allowed to talk now.
Well, there's a lot of time. There are a lot of times, too, because I do a little crap. Like, I have jokes that I urge on.
If you're opening up a show, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it, and there are guys that do it. I'm not against it. It's just something I don't do.
Yeah. And there's like, it sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's something like, I think I talked about it on the show, but that happened twice. It happened in Little Rock. A woman kept saying stuff like, she ended up getting kicked out.
Okay.
So, and she was in love with me, though. That was the problem. She wasn't being mean.
Well, then she waited for you.
No, they got her the fuck out of it. But it was funny because, she goes, why are they making me leave? I don't understand. Why is it they're making me leave? I'm like, well, because kind of what you're doing right now. I'm right. Still on stage and you're having a conversation with me. I know especially as a feature, I don't like to do it. But I've had people do it. When people do it ahead of me, I'll work off it. Like if I hear something, but I can definitely understand what's, cause you, it does sometimes that you don't want to get to the point where the crowd thinks this is just going to be an interactive show. Here's a story. Alaska owner plans to resurrect strip club boat for the summer. I guess in Alaska, you don't have that many options. Anchorage, Alaska. An Alaska man is resurrecting a strip club he operated on the board of his converted crab boat. I don't know if I want to go to a strip club that used to be.
If you're going
to
put a strip club on a boat, crab boat's the way to go.
Yeah. Come to Krabby's. Krabby's Strip Club, where we allow friction dances at your own risk. Crab boat, before he was convicted on waste disposal charges involving the vessel. I guess when you go on, a lot of people taking shits when they go taking dumps on the strip club.
I don't know.
This time is Billy Baba. Darren Byler says he will begin his summer-long First Amendment freedom of assembly demonstrations Thursday on the 94-foot Wild Alaskan. He says the demonstrations will feature exotic dancers, I guess the best you could possibly get in Alaska, on the board of the boat anchored off a harbor near the island of Kodiak. Byler has long alleged he was hit with the federal poop charges because authorities and others disapproved of the... Yeah, of course. They don't. That's one way of squeezing you out, right? Little bureaucracy. We don't want a strip club. You know, God forbid, husbands, you know, or, you know, going to... Have you ever lived in Alaska?
I've been to Alaska.
Yeah.
And I was up there during the early summer where, you know, it was light until about 11:30, 12 o'clock
at night.
And that's why everyone up there is drunk, because they don't know when to go home.
Yeah.
It's last call, but it's still daylight out there. So Alaska is not without things to do. It's a fun place, and people are up there. It's a little strange. I bought a bottle of water. It was Alaska bottled water in Alaska, but it was bottled in Seattle. So the water actually went from Alaska to Seattle. They bottled it, and then they shipped it back up to Alaska,
wow,
which is a little nonsensical to me. But a strip club boat sounds like a good idea. I'll repeat the key word there.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Like when my son was about 8 or 9, I took him on a 3-hour tour around the Isle of Manhattan. All right. It was fun for about 12 minutes. And then it just like, all right, how many minutes till we get off of this? The one nice thing about strip clubs is the ability to leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
And you're on a boat, you're stuck there with all the girls named after food, and you know, I burnt through my money, you know,
I remember the first time I went to a real strip club. It was called the Cheetah 3 in Pompano Beach, still there. I worked at Publix at the time. I used my brother's ID to get into the strip club because I think I was 16, and I spent my entire week's or 2 weeks pay, because we got paid bi-weekly or bi-monthly. I spent my entire check on one beautiful blonde chick that smelled like heaven.
That's right. Now,
if somebody erased my memories, I don't know if that would fall into the category like we were talking about earlier about erasing my memories. You know, you bit something.
No,
bad.
No, you want to save that one.
But that's a good one to save.
Every time you go in a strip club, it's just all girls with pictures of their kids and their bad teeth, and you know, hey, shut that window.
Being
on the boat with. It's like being on a prison ship, all right? And they brought in girls for the day. That's what's that, Escape Plan with Schwarzenegger and Stallone? It's kind of like that, but with like a couple of girls.
Yeah. What was that movie? Was it the guy from Escape from New York and Stallone did a movie together, didn't they? Where they escape from a
Tango
prison.
And Cash.
Tango and Cash. Yeah, they're cops and they go into jail.
Kurt Russell.
Whose wife was in the movie with Amy Schumer, which was horrible.
I don't think they're married.
Right, they're right.
They're together a long time, and you know, cool.
And their daughter is that hot chick,
Kate Hudson.
Florida woman finds iguana in toilet bowl and calls 911. I don't know if I'd bother 911.
What's the emergency?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get a drink there?
Yeah, he stole my purse. Miami, what did South Florida woman do when she lifted the toilet and found an iguana inside? She calls 911, of course. Lieutenant Scott Mullen of Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Venom 1 Unit tells the Miami Herald, it's the first time he's found an iguana in a toilet. Mullen says when the call came in on Tuesday night, he asked the dispatcher to make sure it was an iguana and not a snake. I don't know if you're still going to call the same guy, aren't you?
I, yeah. But did they open the iguana? Did they find any meth and handguns in there?
Yeah, oddly enough.
I'm really curious about that.
He says the woman and her daughter and grandchildren were waiting when he arrived at their home in West Kendall, south of Miami. Mullen says the lizard...
Is that a hot spot for iguanas?
It's you know, the thing about Florida is this big iguana... Like, in Deerfield, not too far from here.
Right.
When you go off... If you take... The 10th Street Express, there's like a roundabout to get on I-95.
Okay.
And that place notoriously has hundreds of those huge, like the ones with the yellow, spiky, the gray ones with the yellow.
Like the ones you lick.
Yeah.
Like the real good
those
ones.
Those are ones that get you high?
Yeah.
And then the green ones, you know, but they're like four, they're huge because they're out there, you know. But there's dozens of them because everybody want to buy, I want to buy an iguana. And then they can't take care of it anymore. They let it out.
So they leave it off. It's like
fucking, it's a problem like the pythons.
It's like a bus station for iguanas.
Yeah. Well, then now we got the problem in the Everglades because people bring in these pythons or these, the big one, the huge ones from the Amazon. They get out there, they're eating fucking alligators. They're disrupting the entire Everglades system because somebody's going to go out to the Everglades. They're going to get eaten by a 50-foot fucking snake, you know, the size of a house. Mullen used that. Says that when they got to the house, arrived at the home of Kendall, the lizard likely came up through the pipes. Mullen used gloves to lift the iguana from the bowl, put it in a box, and drove it to the Wildlife Rescue Center.
Are we going to see this on Cops now? People calling about iguanas. I like Cops.
I haven't watched that show in a while.
No, it's just my favorite, and I don't want to make light of people doing this, but it's the guys that get drunk and beat their wives. And when they get there, the cops, the guy's always sleeping.
Right.
Like, because this must be a very strenuous activity. Yeah. And then, don't wake him up. Don't wake him up.
Yeah. Let him sleep before he takes him to jail. That's always funny.
I know we just lost.
Hey, by the way, but that's okay. But here's the thing. I'll say that, let's finish with this story then. Here's a guy that used his head a little bit. A man dons Home Depot apron to steal air conditioners.
All right.
You know what? Just go get, like, how many times you been in a club, right, or somebody see a guy with an orange shirt and like, hey, how's your shift at Home Depot?
Uh-huh.
Or you a guy with wearing a red shirt. Hey, where do you work at Target?
Right.
In Plaistow, New Hampshire. Police say a man.
Why do they need air conditioners up there?
Yeah, right. A man donned an orange Home Depot apron and posed as an employee to steal air conditioners in New Hampshire. But a manager noticed the name on the garment didn't match that of any worker at the store. Well, it'd be good if he saw the guy's face and realized he didn't fucking recognize him. Police arrested 53-year-old Bernardo Calana.
Okay, right there. He's in New Hampshire and his name is Rolando.
No, we have Bernardo. Bernardo. What is your name? Rich.
Jimmy. He wrote that on the apron? Come on, what's the matter with you?
Why did you use it? Was that your real name? Kalana loaded two air conditioners into his pickup truck and and went back inside. A manager noticed the apron with the name Shannon, which, I have my friend Shannon. I have a guy named Shannon friend.
Yeah, Shannon. Right? It's got the pencil-thin mustache.
With flowers drawn on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't look gay. With flowers drawn on it, called police. Kalana later told police he didn't know anything about the air conditioners, but a Home Depot apron was found in his back pocket. Kalana was released on bail. He probably doesn't have an attorney. So.
I'm just dumbfounded by that. Just the amount of crime.
Yeah.
That people, there is a crime show on every minute of the day. And the fact that people still get arrested for crimes that are really, it's like, okay. Here's what you do with evidence.
Yeah.
Here's what you do with bodies. Here's how you handle stuff. But the crime IQ hasn't risen.
Right.
And it's like the Crime and Investigation Network, that's like crime for dummies, right? That's what you're looking at. Okay, don't do this. Don't do that. Look for a camera.
Yeah. What do you think of these doorbell ring doorbell things with the cameras on them? You know, there was one guy that got busted a few weeks ago here in South Florida. They have these new products out there that supposedly help your home security, where it's the ring, the doorbell in the front, there's a camera on it.
All right.
So when people come to your front door,
okay,
you see who the hell they are. So it's funny. There was one guy.
You know, you remember the original prototype for that? It was called the peephole.
The peephole.
It's in every door in America.
Yeah, but the good thing about the camera is you can watch it. Yeah, speaking of doors,
I think the dog really wants in.
Yeah, he wants to.
You know what?
In.
We need. You know, we need a camera with the doorbell.
Well, that or it's a little iguana.
Yeah,
a crazy iguana trying to get out my toilet.
Shannon.
But yeah, you record. You can see anybody at home, and you can have a voice. Like you could be at your office, and you can go. No, we're busy right now. One lady on the commercial goes, I'm a little busy right now washing my daughter. You know, I'm like, yeah, do you really want to tell a stranger that you're in the your bedroom or in the bathroom with your young kid and taking a bath? But you get the.
Well, what neighborhood is this?
Yeah. Okay, I'm coming in. But there was a guy in Florida.
I'm back again.
This stupid ass, this young kid, goes up to the house, sees that it has a. He could see the camera, right? He just comes up and he leaves. Comes back hours later with a piece of paper. Covering his face as he's walking up to the camera, but he's wearing the same fucking clothes.
Okay.
So basically, they caught the guy because
what was he doing at the house?
He was casing the house.
Okay.
So he went to the house and then he got turned away. The camera worked. He goes, oh fuck, there's a camera there. I'll take care of this. I'll
yeah,
come back.
I just get a piece of paper.
my face.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure they don't.
I
have
think
it on
Scorsese is going to make a movie about this guy.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, by the way, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank John McClellan for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. But don't forget, guys on Facebook, Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight. Tavolino's 8:15, just $10. This gentleman's our headliner. Very funny guy. I'll be hosting it. Chris Rowe, Chris Topher, whatever name you want to use, will be our feature. Don't forget, guys, on Friday night, I'm going to be at the Claremont Performing Arts Center in the Orlando area. Very fun show. I don't know what time the show is. Just go to Claremont Performing Arts Center. Check that out. And go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. I got some shows coming up in Dubuque, Iowa, Cedar Rapids, Iowa,
okay,
St. Pete, all kinds of places. Go to Dougie Almeida. How about you?
I am here tonight, Tallahassee, Florida, on Friday, Mobile, Alabama, on Saturday, Durham, North Carolina next week, and also in Pennsylvania, and then I have some stuff around the city, then go the Midwest to Ohio and Indiana. So, boozcoma.com to find out all the dates. You can follow me at boozcoma on Twitter. I like to think I'm kind of funny on that.
Absolutely. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie.
We follow each other.
Yeah, we
Twitter.
Do. We follow, not too closely, but we're there.
We're around that way.
Yeah, that's right. And follow, don't forget to join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget, also, if you're new to the show, you want to share this experience with people, we are on Bubba Army Radio on the weekends and their archive shows on Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. It's nice to be part of that little network. The Bubba Army Radio from
yes,
Bubba the Love
is.
Sponge.
Yeah, very
and,
prestigious.
And we're getting more listeners from it, so we thank them. And don't forget your patron page on our fan page, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Podbean.com. Go to our main site, archive site. There's a patron page. You can donate a minimum of $1 a month. We got several people doing that. We got somebody donating $10 a month. So all that money goes to paying gas money for our co-hosts who come in, two or three times a week,
right,
whatever it is, gives them a little gas money.
Top flight microphones you've got in here,
Man.
It's good equipment.
Yeah, we try to make it professional.
We do.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you here next week, right at the same spot. Take care.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets. They travel to the world on a silvery night. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.